Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who washes his hands even after using a towel, Pete Schwabba.
We are back for hour number two of our July 3rd, Wednesday night edition of Nightlight. Great to have you with me wherever you are listening from in our state. I hope you are behaving responsibly, yet having the time of your life. But please be careful out there, folks, whether you're handling fireworks, drinking alcohol, or doing wheelies on your bike. Just take it easy. So this is kind of, what are you going to watch this weekend, Conrad? We're not going to do, it's not going to be a what to watch Thursday because we have a best of show planned for tomorrow so we can hang out and enjoy the fourth. But there's a lot of cool stuff opening this weekend. Despicable Me 4, we just talked about that with Jimmy Cuska, opens. Not reviewing all that well, but expected to pull in like 125, 150 million at the box office over the five-day weekend. It will finally, there is a film that will finally knock off Inside Out 2, which is phenomenal and reviewed in the 90s on Rotten Tomatoes. So you got that. I know a lot of people I've had on this show are highly, I don't know if highly anticipating is the right phrase, but Maxine is part of a trilogy. And it's a serial killer film set in Los Angeles. A young actress goes to L.A. in the 1980s. Love that it's a period piece. And she finds herself in the adult film business while there is a serial killer stalking people in L.A. Getting pretty good reviews. That's on my list. Despicable Me 4 is on my list. So there's some good stuff to see. Quiet Place Day 1 was good. I recommend that. Still in the theaters. Beverly Hills Cop Axel Foley is out only on Netflix this weekend. I take that back. It might be in the theaters too, but you can definitely watch it on Netflix if you don't feel like leaving the house. I am finishing. I have one more episode of 1883. That's a Yellowstone prequel. And I watched 1923, the other prequel. I'm going backwards in order sequentially here, but the first one, 1883, I did not like as much at first. But I have to say, it really came around, and I think it's phenomenal. And Isabella May, this actress who plays Elsa Dutton, is excellent. Her character, the actress is good. The character is so well written. It's kind of one of those characters that just sort of takes your breath away. She has this zest for life that is so cool. And Tim McGraw and Faith Hill, a real-life couple, country music singers, play her parents. Sam Elliott is in it. It took a little while to get going. And 1923 cuts back and forth from like two to three different storylines. So you're never bored. It's always like, oh yeah, what's going on here? 1883 kind of just follows, I would say Tim McGraw is the main character. James Dutton and his family. But it's good. It's a really good show. So I highly recommend. I think both of them are much better than Yellowstone. So I'll finish that up this weekend. Did you stick with Dark Matter?
I don't think it's all the way out yet, right?
Not all of it.
Yeah, so I'm waiting.
I did let two episodes build up, so I'm excited about that. I've got two to watch now.
I will say there's one thing that I'm really excited for coming out on the 5th, and it's based off a show that was only on Facebook Watch. And it was called The Real Bros of Simi Valley. And it's with, it's directed, acted Jimmy Tatro.
Huh.
And he has a bunch of his friends that act in it too.
What's just it called?
The Real Bros of Simi Valley.
Oh, a bro show?
It's such a bro show. It's so funny though. I think the first episode came out sometime in 2019.
Okay.
And then it kind of stopped during COVID. They made the final season, but now they're making a movie, and it comes out on the 5th.
A reality show based movie.
It's a reality show, but it's not a reality show. It acts like it's a reality show, but it just makes fun of reality shows.
Okay. Oh, okay.
I think I said reality show way too much right there.
The Real Bros of Simi Valley.
Simi Valley, the movie.
I have to be honest, that does not sound interesting.
It's so funny.
But if you like comedy, bros are making fun of themselves, okay, oh yeah, all right. That's interesting. Okay.
They make fun of so much like bro stuff that you just have to laugh at it. I really enjoy it.
Okay. But more are coming out this weekend, you're saying?
The movie is coming out on the Friday.
On what platform?
It's actually on Roku.
A rare Roku original. Yeah. I like it.
And yeah, like I said, Jimmy Tatro has directed it and wrote the script.
You were a journalism major, right?
Yeah. It's not showing.
That's funny. All right. Well, that's interesting. That's a good find. I wouldn't have found that. Remember, everybody used to make fun of Roku. Like, oh, Roku channel. Hey, whoever created Roku is a genius and loaded now.
Oh, yeah.
Wish I would have thought of it. All right. So today, as I mentioned earlier, is Tom Cruise's birthday. We're not going to go there yet. I have clips yesterday. Boys in the Hood dropped this week, too. And some of the scenes in Boys in the Hood between the actors are so beautiful and so well acted. And the chemistry is so great. And it's definitely there between Lawrence Fishburne and Cuba Gooding Jr. Lawrence Fishburne plays Furious Styles, raising his son, Trey, in South Central LA. A tough job, tough to raise kids anywhere, even tougher there. A lot going on the street, and he tries to keep Trey in line. And this is a scene where he's sort of educating some of the neighborhood youth. You know which one I'm talking about, Conrad?
Yeah.
All right. He's standing in front of a foreclosed house, and let's hear some acting by Lawrence Fishburne.
Now take a look at that sign up there. See what it says? Cash for your home. You know what that is?
It's billboard.
What are y'all, Amos and Andy? Are you stepping and he's fetching? Billboard. I'm talking about the message, what it stands for. It's called gentrification. It's what happens when the property value of a certain area is brought down. Huh? You listening?
Yeah.
They bring the property value down. They can buy the land at a lower price. Then they move all the people out, raise the property value, and sell it at a profit. Now, what we need to do is we need to keep everything in our neighborhood, everything, black. Black-owned with black money. Just like the Jews, the Italians, the Mexicans, and the Koreans do.
Ain't nobody from outside bringing down the property value. It's these folk shooting each other and selling that crack rock and
Well, how you think the crack rock gets into the country? We don't own any planes. We don't own no ships. But we are not the people who are flying and floating that in here. I know every time you turn on the TV, that's what you see, black people selling the rock,
right.
pushing the rock. Yeah, I know. But that wasn't a problem as long as it was here. Wasn't a problem until it was in Iowa, and it showed up on Wall Street where there are hardly any black people. Now, if you want to talk about guns, why is it that there's a gun shop on almost every corner in this community?
Why?
Tell you why. For the same reason that there's a liquor store on almost every corner in the black community. Why? They want us to kill ourselves. You go out to Beverly Hills, you don't see that But they want us to kill ourselves. Yeah, the best way you can destroy a people, you take away their ability to reproduce themselves.
Yeah.
Who is it that's dying out here on these streets every night? Y'all.
Yeah.
Young brothers like yourselves.
What am I supposed to do? Fool roll up, try to smoke me? I'm gonna shoot the if he don't kill me first.
You're doing exactly what they want you to do. You have to think, young brother, about your future. Huh?
Great clip and great. If you haven't seen the movie, it's from 1991, a very, very good film. That was the first real look I got at life in South Central. I had heard rap groups singing about it, and there had been other movies, but that one was just grounded it between this father and son, and I thought it was so great. We have another scene here that we're going to play. This is when Trey, one of his best friends, gets shot, and Trey wants revenge. It's his best friend, good kid, who is headed to a college on a football scholarship, and Trey is upset and furious. His father needs to calm him down.
Oh, you bad now, huh? You bad. You got to shoot somebody now, huh? Well, here I am. Come on, shoot me. You bad, right? Look, I'm sorry about your friend. My heart goes out to his mother and his family, but that's their problem, Trey. You my son, you my problem. I want you to give me the gun. Oh, I see. You want to end up like little Chris in a wheelchair, huh? Right? No, no. You want to end up like Doughboy, huh? No? Give me the gun, Trey. Son, and I'm not gonna lose you to no here. I love you, man.
Conrad, are you crying?
I might be.
That's Furious Styles and Cuba Gooding Jr. from Boys in the Hood, dropped this week in 1991. Great film. So here's the other thing. All right, so Linda Fortunato, by the way, will be along shortly. She is the artistic director of the Peninsula Players Theater here in lovely Door County, right in Peninsula State Park. It's just a beautiful little spot to have an enjoyable evening of theater and just looking at the lake and eating snacks. It's beautiful. So we'll talk to Linda about their season, which is now in full swing. That's coming up next. And we had, what was the Elton John clip?
It was a song.
Oh, that's right. Okay. I was looking at my notes. I totally forgot. Well, let's use that in and out of the break. What do you say?
Sure.
Okay. So Linda Fortunato is coming up next. We've got some Tom Cruise, maybe arguably the greatest movie star ever as we head into 4th of July. So many great films have come out on this holiday. And we've talked about a few of them. We'll talk about some more. And Tom Cruise. We'll celebrate Tom Cruise in the only way Nightlight knows how. Were you able to get a hold of him?
He was busy. I'm sorry.
All right. Dude, send him a letter via AeroMail. All right. So coming up next, Linda Fortunato, we're going to talk some outdoor awesome summer theater right here in our own backyard at Peninsula Players. This is Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network.
When will I learn memories get in the way? I walk around. I can't hear a sound. Folks talking loud, but I don't see at all. I gotta get away, gotta get away. I don't
know where to go. It's hopeless, so I guess I'll leave it all.
You can never know what it's like. Your blood like winter.
This is such a great song. Conrad, did you see? Did you happen to see the movie Sing?
I have never seen that movie, actually.
So good. And it's just one of those, the music and the singing was so fantastic. And one of the characters sings that song in it. And I think I might like it better than the Elton John version. Really fun film. All right, we're going to move the show along now. This is Nightlight. Great to have you with me on this beautiful July 3rd, the eve of our Independence Day, which is so much fun to talk about. We're broadcasting live from downtown Green Bay, all over the state of Wisconsin, from our City Deck Landing studios here at WGBW. And we bring in a neighbor, if you will. Our next guest is Linda Fortunato. She is the artistic director of the Peninsula Players Theater in Door County, and she joins us now here on Nightlight. Hi, Linda.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm well, thanks. Thanks for having me. How are you doing tonight?
Doing very well. This is fun. We've got a long weekend to look forward to here, and but it's fun to be here too with you and to be talking about all things theater and all things Northeast Wisconsin theater. For those who are listening and might not be aware, give us a little background. Tell them a little bit about what Peninsula Players is.
Peninsula Players Theater has existed in Door County since 1935. We were started by a brother and sister, Richard and Caroline Fisher, back in 1935. The first two seasons, they performed in the middle, in the heart of Fish Creek, outside the Bonnybrook Hotel. And in 1937, we moved to where we are currently, which is we're just in between Egg Harbor and Fish Creek, directly on the water, 16 acres of cedar forest. As you mentioned before the break, just a beautiful place to come and see a show.
It's so great. And I was there last year. I was there twice. I took my daughter, who is all about musical theater. She's going to school to get her BFA in musical theater. And it was a picturesque, gorgeous night right on the lake. So that was fun. And then we went back in the fall, my son and my daughter and my wife, and it was this rainy, we saw the Sherlock Holmes play in October. So it was kind of creepy. And then we had this like torrential downpour. So we got to see both sides. It was really fun. And it was perfect for that to happen with the show we were seeing when you guys close up the sides too. It's just, and I have a history with that place. I don't know. I think I told Danielle this because she's been on the show before. When I was in high school across the bay in Marinette, Wisconsin, our theater director, Jan Desjardin, knew one of the directors at Peninsula Players. So we would go over there. Our theater company in high school would go over there and help Peninsula Players get ready for their theater season. We'd sweep the dorms, and they were just these tiny dorms at the time. I'm sure you remember them. And we would clean the kitchen out and rake, and it was just like this crazy. And then at night, it was like all these teenagers running through the woods and crashing in dorms. It was so much fun. And I always have a special place in my heart for the Peninsula Players.
That's great. It takes a lot of people to make theater happen. And sometimes it's high school volunteers.
Exactly. And they loaned us stuff, which was great. We had a pretty decent theater company ourselves. And it was nice to have that connection to you professionals. So how did you get connected with Peninsula Players?
I first started working for Peninsula Players a very long time ago as an actor. I auditioned for a show and was cast and came up here and honestly had never been to Door County, knew nothing about Door County, drove up on the, you know, the day before our first rehearsal and looked around and went, oh, this is what everybody's been talking about.
Yeah.
And just absolutely fell in love with it. Was lucky enough to return numerous seasons as an actor. Over time, started directing for the company, choreographing. I spent a couple of years as the business manager. And then when Greg Winkler, who's my predecessor as the artistic director, he was the artistic director for over 30 years. And when he was ready to retire, I was incredibly lucky to be asked to step up as the next artistic director.
Well, good for you. What is your background in theater? How did you, like, is this something you studied in college? I think I saw in your bio, you live in Evanston, beautiful area, my hometown of Chicago. Did you study, were you in the Chicago theater scene at all?
I was, yes. I did go to school for theater. I got my BFA in performance at Millikan University in Decatur, Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
Immediately after graduating, I moved to Chicago and started working in the Chicago theater community. Wisconsin has sort of been my home away from home, even though most of my professional career has been based in the Chicago theater community.
So how do you do that? Do you just move up here for the summer or for the season? Or go back and forth? Okay.
Yeah. But pretty much I'm here for the season and then, go back and forth a little bit. It's a bit of a drive, but it's absolutely doable. And I mean, there's no place I'd rather be for the summer. I often say I'm really lucky that my job is in a vacation destination.
I'm telling you, I'm not a fan of winter, but I lived away from it for a long time. But summer and fall, you cannot beat Northeast Wisconsin. It is just absolutely gorgeous here.
Yes.
So, all right. So let's talk a little bit about what you guys have on tap. The first show playing right now, I assume, is I Ought to Be in Pictures by Neil Simon.
That's right. It's playing right now. It has just a few performances left. It closes this Sunday.
Oh, wow. Okay. So yeah, July 7th.
Yeah.
And, okay. So, and what I love too, is your tickets are very reasonably priced for the setting and the beauty. And you guys do a bonfire during intermission, which is really cool. It's like an experience like no other. What is coming up after I Ought to Be in Pictures?
The next show after I Oughta Be in Pictures is a show called The Angel Next Door. It's actually a new play. That one runs July 10th to July 28th. It is a new comedy that was written by Paul Slade Smith, who is an alum with us. He's been both an actor and a playwright. We've done a couple of his other plays. It's a new adaptation of an old play. It is very, very funny, really charming, endearing, wonderful characters. And some things happen and there are some misunderstandings and to what lengths will people go to sort things out? And it's a very fun ride with some really great characters.
Two of my favorite words when talking about theater are screwball comedy.
There you go. This That's one's for great. You.
Do you guys have a lot of that? Like people that come through the program or are just there for a summer, do they approach you guys with original material often, or are they there kind of, and then sometimes you never see them again?
It's a bit of both. As far as people approaching with original material, I get emails from people all over the country. In fact, all over the world with original plays. And so I read a lot of plays that people submit to us. And sometimes, you know, as you said, sometimes someone who's worked with us before has written a play and will share it with us. And there's something really special about Peninsula Players in the experience as an audience member, as well as an employee and a company member. There's something about it that people just want to keep coming back. And we're really lucky that we have a group of dedicated people who want to come back year after year. And sometimes, you know, maybe it'll have been 10 years since they were here last, but we're always happy to welcome people back.
That's so great. And you guys have new dorms that look beautiful. Obviously, there's been some fundraising. The dorms look great. And when I was there in the late 80s as a high school kid, there were no sides on the theater. I don't even know if there was a roof. And I was like, man, the mosquitoes just must be horrible here. But last summer, I was like, wow, it's kind of enclosed, but kind of outside, just great upgrades. My guest is Linda Fortunato. She's the artistic director of the Peninsula Players Theater in beautiful Door County. We'll have more with Linda in just a few minutes after the news. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who's had a paper route for 25 years but never collected, Pete Schwabe.
Welcome back. Tonight's question is, who is the greatest actress of all time? Not too late to get in on the fun, folks. If you want to text in with your answer, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. We've already heard, mine was Kathy Bates, who had a birthday this week. We heard Betty White, which was interesting, Mae West, Shirley MacLaine, and I'm forgetting a few, but get your answer in if you want to take part. Always fun to read them on the radio. My guest right now is Linda Fortunato. She is the artistic director of the Peninsula Players in Door County, and their season is in full swing. Their first production is ending this Sunday. So if you want to check that out, definitely check out their website and see what they have to offer. It's always fun there on the shores of Green Bay. So, Linda, before we get back to the schedule, this is the anniversary today of the release of Hamilton. Is that one of your favorites? How do you feel about Hamilton?
I did not know today was the anniversary.
Yeah.
I have seen Hamilton a couple times and enjoyed it a lot. I think it was a really groundbreaking piece when it was released and it's really enjoyable. I've had quite a few friends that have worked on it, been in productions of it, and hope it has a long life.
It definitely was timely when it came out, I would say. The timing of it was perfect in 2020. But I have to say, for me, there's like Les Mis and everything else. So I liked Hamilton, but I think I heard too much hype about it. And I just was like, I really liked it. I was thoroughly entertained. But some people lose their minds over Hamilton. And
true.
I'm not in that category. So anyway.
That's okay. And some people might wonder why other people lose their minds about other shows.
So absolutely.
I think that's, you know, that's the beauty of art, right? Different things speak to different people.
Definitely. I don't even understand how you can give awards for such things like acting and maybe directing, but like all that stuff. It's just hard. I don't know how people judge that stuff, but you have a show coming up. It doesn't look like you directed this one, but it starts July 31st called Million Dollar Quartet. And it has, I'm assuming, the music of Elvis Presley, Carl Perkins, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Johnny Cash. That sounds like a fun show.
It's a great show. It's it is the story of, it's based on an actual event when those four artists all came together at Sun Studios and basically had an impromptu jam session.
Fun.
And so this is the fictionalized telling of that actual night. And so there is amazing music in it. If you've never seen the show and like that era of music, you should absolutely come see it. And even if you have seen the show, it's you know, if you've seen another production of it, this is one I think that you could see over and over and continue to enjoy because the music and the characters are just so incredible.
So it's not like an opera, like it's not music wall to wall. There's narrative in between there and that kind of stuff.
That's correct. Yep. It's about these, it's about this group of people gathering and how they interact with one another and like, hey, let's play this song. And there's some flashback as to how Sam Phillips, the producer, met each of them. And so, you know, you get some of their early hits and some, all kinds of music, some of them singing each other's songs. It's a really fun night at the theater.
I think I absolutely love that. Ticket prices are like 50, mid 50s, $50. You cannot beat that. There are student discounts. And like I said, it's just a great night by the shore. So you direct and you have an acting background. I can't even imagine directing theater. That's got to be, I mean, once the show is up, it's up. But what do you prefer? Do you prefer acting or directing?
Oh, wow. It's like apples and oranges. They're both so different. At this moment in my life, I prefer directing, but it hasn't always been that way. It might not always continue to be that way. But right now, directing feels like, oh, yeah, this is the place I'm supposed to be right now.
It must be incredible. Like, I've only been there like on the film side when you're kind of sitting there looking at post-production, everything you have. But you get the satisfaction of kind of sitting back and watching and not having to do anything else and just watching the performers on stage. Is that nerve-wracking or are you kind of like, my work is done, I'm just going to enjoy this?
You know, it's such a collaborative effort that there are so many people involved. Yes, the director is the leader of the production, but between the actors and the designers and the technicians and stage management, it's such a team effort that there is sort of a time where as the director, you get to hand it over and say, okay, it's yours now. And you do get to step back and just be part of the audience.
How many of the performances will you watch once you've directed, the show is up? Is it hard to sit through and watch because you're worried about mistakes or is it pure joy? How many of those shows will you watch?
You know, I love to go back. Through getting it open, you watch it a lot and you are looking at every tiny thing, you know, the hem on that dress and the timing on how quickly that light turned on and all of those things. But then after the show is open and you get to go away for a few days, coming back to see it is such a joy because everybody gets to grow into what they're doing and it just becomes more rich and you get to notice nuance and things that maybe wasn't there at the beginning. And that's part of the beauty about live theater is although it's the same broad strokes, the breathing of it changes from night to night. And with each audience, it's different, you know, especially with a comedy, some audiences, you know, an audience has its own personality and based upon what the audience gives is what what comes back to them. And it really is a partnership between the performers and the audience. And so you could see it from night to night and it would just be slightly different every time.
It's so funny what you just said, and that is so true how an audience can have a personality. I remember, like, I did stand-up comedy all through the 90s, and I remember, like, you'd have one audience that they all seem collectively to be, like, kind of chucklers. They just kind of go, huh. And that's the death. That's a horrible crowd, right? But interesting to me, like what you just said, it's true. How do they take on a personality? It's like they all feed off each other in an instant. It's so crazy.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. There was actually a study done, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, that some, I don't know how they did it, but they found that an audience at a live theater performance at a certain point actually starts to breathe together.
Oh my gosh. So these people
that are strangers that you don't even know that are sitting around you, you really do become a collective as an audience.
That is really interesting. I usually sit behind the guy with the biggest head. That's all I know. So I can't thank you enough for your time. Just a couple questions for you. What we talk about on the show a lot is movies and TV. And tonight our question is, who is the greatest actress of all time, based on a conversation I shared yesterday that Eddie Murphy had with Marlon Brando, where he said Brando was his favorite actor of all time. We did actors last night. We're doing actresses tonight. Do you have a favorite actress? Stage or screen?
I don't think I do. I have to say I'm surprised that list you gave coming back from the break that nobody had said Meryl Streep yet. I'm sure somebody said that, right?
I kind of hinted. I almost picked her, but I went with Kathy Bates for some reason.
Well, also great.
Yeah.
I don't think I have a favorite. I think as an actor, I'm just so fascinated by so many actors and just, you know, love to watch other people and just be at the height of their craft and get such joy from watching other people do it.
And it's so great because you can be watching an actor and it could be someone you know or don't, and they just have a moment where there's such brilliance in their performance. That's why it's hard to give awards, you know, like you've got these guys or girls that make tons of money in open movies, and then you've got great ensemble players. Yeah, it's just, it's really fun to watch when someone's in the zone. Do you have you seen any of the summer movies that are out?
I confess I haven't. I've been so busy at the theater. I haven't gotten away long enough to see a movie, but I'll take recommendations.
Well, there's some good Despicable. No, Conrad, what is Inside Out 2? Do you have kids?
He's 16, but I'll still bring him.
the girl in Inside Out 2 is 13. And her emotions, I don't know if you saw the first one, but her emotions are the characters. It's just a great premise. Now they throw in puberty emotions, and it is really fun to watch. So I would highly recommend that one. That's the best movie I've seen all summer so far.
I'll have to get there.
All right. What about binge watching TV? Do you have any shows you like to curl up with after a long day at the theater?
Oh man, what have I been watching? I feel like I always have like three different things I'm watching. Something that I watch by myself, something that my husband and I watch, and then something that we watch with our son. So there's always something, and I usually let them pick because they have stronger opinions than I do, and I'm happy to watch just about anything.
You can just sit there and zone out or be on your phone, and that's just as good.
Right? Oh no, I'm happy to watch. I'll get just as invested as they are. I just don't want to choose what we're going to watch.
All right. Great answer. Hey, thanks so much for your time tonight, Linda. Best of luck with the new season, and I'll be over there at some point. If I see you, I'll say hello, but keep up the great work.
Sounds good. Yes, everybody come and join us. We have a great season lined up, and we're ready for you all to come see us.
That's a great pitch. All right, Linda Fortunato, have a great night there in Door County. Thanks so much.
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Oh, check out, I'm telling you, check out Peninsula Players if you haven't been there. I probably sound like I'm exaggerating, and I probably should just shut up and keep the bar low, but it is just a majestic little place. It's beautiful. So hopefully you guys can find a way to get over there this summer, support some live theater, and have a great time and see a great show. So as I mentioned, this is, I think Tom Cruise is very possibly the greatest movie star of all time. Not the greatest actor, not necessarily the greatest this or that, but the whole package, the movies he picks to do as an actor or a producer, they make tons of money. And he just does not make bombs. He's had a few that have not been great, but typically you still find something that's entertaining about it. And I really think he might be the greatest movie star of all time. So we have a great scene here from A Few Good Men. You probably have heard it before if you've seen the film. Obviously, you've heard it before if you've seen the film, but it gets repeated a lot. It's sort of become a staple from this movie or in Hollywood lore. Some great iconic lines from it. Let's play this scene from A Few Good Men.
Your Honor, I'd like to ask for a recess.
I'd like an answer to the question, Judge.
The court will wait for an answer.
If Lieutenant Kendrick gave an order that Santiago wasn't to be touched, then why did he have to be transferred? Colonel, Lieutenant Lieutenant Kendrick ordered the code red, didn't he? Because that's what you told Lieutenant Kendrick to do.
Object! And when it went bad, you cut these guys loose!
Your Honor,
you had markets inside a phony transport!
Your Honor,
you doctored the logbook!
Damn it, Captain!
You coerced the doctor!
Consider yourself in contempt!
Colonel Jessup, did you order the code red?
You don't have to answer that question.
I'll answer the question. You want answers?
I think I'm entitled to.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth! Son, we live in a world that has walls, and those walls have to be guarded by men with guns. Who's gonna do it? You? You, Lieutenant Weinberg? I have a greater responsibility than you can possibly fathom. You weep for Santiago, and you curse the Marines. You have that luxury. You have the luxury of not knowing what I know, that Santiago's death, while tragic, probably saved lives, and my existence, while grotesque and incomprehensible to you, saves lives. You don't want the truth because deep down in places you don't talk about at parties, you want me on that wall. You need me on that wall. We use words like honor, code, loyalty. We use these words as the backbone of a life spent defending something. You use them as a punchline. I have neither the time nor the inclination to explain myself to a man who rises and sleeps under the blanket of the very freedom that I provide and then questions the manner in which I provide it. I would rather you just said thank you and went on your way. Otherwise, I suggest you pick up a weapon and stand a post. Either way, I don't give a damn what you think you are entitled to.
Did you order the code red?
I did the job.
Did you order the code red?
You're damn right I did!
That's such a great scene. That's Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson from A Few Good Men. And I forget, like, I think last night I was saying sometimes I feel like Nicholson is almost like a caricature. And mostly that's because everybody impersonates him all the time. Comedians, people that you see on the street when you're talking about movies will even go into a Jack Nicholson impersonation. But he's a great actor, and he was great in that scene. We'll do a clip from All the Right Moves and maybe Jerry Maguire. On the text, or on the streamline, I should say, Blake says, Pete, have you been in a movie with any wrestlers? I haven't been in a ton of movies, Blake. I don't think I have been. But if you haven't seen Iron Claw, that's a movie about wrestlers that was out last year and was in the discussion for Oscar nominations. Very good, about a family of wrestlers. I highly recommend it if you haven't seen it. If you're a fan of wrestling, though, you probably have. So we'll do some more clips. I'll read some more texts. And we'll have more fun as we put a bow on this pre-4th of July episode of Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Bridget from the 818 says, Vision Quest, the best. You know, a few weeks ago, Mike Schmidt was on the show, one of my comedy buddies, and he said sometimes when there's a lot of hype around a film and he misses it during the initial hype, he just won't watch it and it'll kind of fall by the wayside. And that's kind of how it was with me in Vision Quest. It came out, I think, my junior year in high school, and I never saw it. And I, to this day, there's just that great Journey song that is sort of like the part of the soundtrack of the film. It's such a cool song. It's called Only the Young. But I think Bridget here is talking about a wrestling movie. And that was Matthew Modine, who we played in a clip the other day from Sicario. He was in Vision Quest. He was the star of that when he was very much younger. So that's another one, Blake. If you haven't seen Vision Quest, good wrestling movie. Iron Claw and Vision Quest. That's your homework, Blake. Watch those two movies. Bridget from the 818 says, Meryl Streep, so versatile. I totally agree. And she says she is great in everything. So there you go. Linda said she's surprised no one has said Meryl Streep tonight. Well, now someone has. So there you go, Linda. I would like to thank my guest tonight, Jimmy Cuska. Very fun talk about The Boys and some superhero TV. And Linda Fortunato from Peninsula Players over in Door County, thank you for all your texts. And we have one more here. Here's Blake again on the stream. I recently watched your movie, The Godfather of Green Bay. I have the DVD. It's great. Thank you, Blake. Thank you for watching it. Thank you for not pirating it and actually watching the DVD. You probably just put like a penny and a half in my pocket. So, and thanks for watching it. Glad you liked it, Blake. So here's another Tom Cruise scene. This is from a lesser known film called All the Right Moves. And it wasn't lesser known back in the day, but this is the film he did immediately following Risky Business, which made him a huge star. And he plays a high school football player. Craig T. Nelson plays his coach. They have a falling out, and Craig T. Nelson kind of blackballs him from getting a scholarship. This is part of Western Pennsylvania high school football lore. That's where the film is set, in a steel town. And Tom Cruise plays Stefan Georgievic, I believe is his name. And this is a scene. He has just run out of a diner that his coach and wife are in, and the coach kind of chases him out. And here's that scene now.
Georgievic! Georgievic, I'd like to talk to you.
We got nothing to talk about.
So where are you going?
Where am I going?
Yeah.
No place, man. I mean, Shadow, he's going to West Virginia. He just found out tonight. And Tank's going to Furman. Oh, you knew that already. And you're going to Cal Poly. Mouse is going to college. He's going to play ball. I mean, I'm just going to hang out here. I don't know. And Nickerson, you lied about me. You blackballed me. Together. Remember that? Together, together, together. You guys all just bull.
What?
Full, man. You just sit there in your office. Scholarship here, no scholarship there. He goes, he stays. Who in the hell gave you that power? You're just a coach. Just a high school football coach. I mean,
you know, Nickerson, you are not God, huh? You are just a typing teacher.
Just a typing teacher. Great line. A pretty solid film. Christopher Penn plays his best friend. Craig T. Nelson is pretty good as the coach. And Tom Cruise is great. Leah Thompson plays his girlfriend. She's really good too. Good movie. Good for a rewatch. So do we have time for the Jerry Maguire? You know what I want to close the show with, Conrad?
Yeah.
Do you?
Oh, no. I was...
Okay. You're just saying, yeah. My new favorite song.
Sounds good.
Do you know what it is?
Oh, yeah.
It's from a movie.
It starts with Brian.
Yes, okay. But do we have time for the Jerry Maguire clip first?
Yeah.
All right. Here's our final Tom Cruise clip on his birthday. This is a famous scene from Jerry Maguire. Not my favorite Tom Cruise film, but a good movie. Cameron Crowe, can't beat it. And this is a great scene.
I am a role model, Jerry. I have a family to support. Hear me? I want to stay in Arizona. I want my new contract. But I like you. Yes, I like you, Jerry. My wife likes you. You're good to my wife. I will stay with you.
That's great. I'm very happy.
Are you listening?
Yes.
That's what I'm gonna do for you. God bless you, Jerry. But this is what you're gonna do for me. You listen? Jerry?
Yeah, what can I do for you, Rod? You just tell me, what can I do for you?
It's a very personal, very important thing. Hell, it's a family motto. Are you ready, Jerry?
I'm ready.
Just want to make sure you're ready, brother. Here it is. Show me the money.
Jerry, use money.
Oh, no, no, you can do better than that, Jerry. I want you to say it, what you would mean it, brother. Hey, I got Bob Sugar on the other line. I better hear you say it.
Yeah, yeah, no, 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 show you the money.
Not show you, show me the money.
Show me the money.
Yeah.
Who just got
louder.
Show me the money.
That's it, brother, but you got to yell that.
Show me the money.
I need to feel you, Jerry.
Show me the money.
Jerry, you better yell. Show me the money. Show me the money.
We had two Cuba Gooding clips tonight. Did you notice that, Conrad?
Yeah.
Everything I do is by design. Are you already queuing it up?
Well, you got to hear the song at the end.
I guess we have to go, yeah. Well, let's take a little extra time in the outro just so we can hear some of this gold. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great, happy, and safe 4th of July. That's tomorrow. And a great long weekend if you have one. Have a great night. We'll be back Monday. Rob Thomas will be my guest, and we'll be talking cigars in the second hour. How cool is that? That's next Monday on Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. Happy 4th, everybody, on behalf of Conrad. Good night, Wisconsin.
We did 2 sow cows and a triple lutz while wearing a blindfold. When Brian Boitano was in the Alps fighting grizzly bears, he used his magical fire breath and saved the maiden's fair. So what would Brian Boitano do if he were here today? I'm sure he'd kick an ass or two. That's what Brian Boitano do. Speech impaired.